something is about to change. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We honor you. We lift you up. We magnify you. We glorify you. You're worthy of all the praise. Have thine own way, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you have done thus far. Get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Many of us at this time of the year, we think about change. And we think about change for the better. It is very traditional in the United States on New Year's Eve to make New Year resolutions. A resolution is a formal statement of a decision, opinion, or course of action, an act or process of resolving or determining, a vow. For example, he made a New Year's resolution that he was going to start going to church. With a resolution, there must be a desire to fulfill the resolution. It's one thing to make the resolution. It's another thing to have a desire to fulfill the resolution. In other words, we need to stop lying to ourselves sometimes. We need to stop making empty promises to ourselves. We need to stop deceiving ourselves. But if you have a serious resolution, then there must also be the willingness and the expectation for that thing to come to pass. I would like to suggest to you on this New Year's Eve that instead of just a resolution, how about receiving a revelation? The revelation is that God is trying to do something different in your life. We get comfortable with the same, but God is trying to do something different in your life. God desires for you to change. God has a desire for you to change. We are to always be moving towards a richer, closer relationship with God. So God desires that we change. It has to do more with where God has you than it does with being a new year. But at the same time, praise God for your desire to change. To illustrate this revelation about God trying to do something different in your life, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, beginning at the first verse. We're going to use Abraham to illustrate this point, that God is trying to do something different in our lives. Something is about to change. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 22, first verse. The key to God preparing to do something different in Abraham's life is found in the first verse of Genesis 22. And it came to pass. Lord have mercy. When you read that in Scripture, God's about to do something different. We're sitting there talking about what we didn't do and what we missed and what we forgot to do and how I feel bad about this and how he left me and how she left me. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And then you get to Genesis 22 and 1, God dealing with Abraham. He said, and it came to pass after these things. I said, after what things? After Abraham was told to leave his family and go a certain place, and he took more than he was supposed to take with him and got in trouble. After Abraham lied and said that Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. After Abraham's name was changed. After Sarah laughed at God when God told her that she was in fact going to have a baby. After Abraham laid with Hagar and laid with Keturah. After these things. And it came to pass after these things. And see, what we need to understand, God is not so interested in whether or not you got everything right. God's not so interested in whether or not you did everything perfect. God's not so interested if you mess up over here and you mess up over. God is interested in whether or not you learned something from those experiences. Something's about to change. So you and I get in church and talk about, well, he didn't do this right and she didn't do that right and this one did this and did that. God said, and it came to pass. That after these things, that means God is trying to do something different. God is trying to do something new in your life. And you keep on holding to the old, talking new with the mouth and old with the heart.
Oh, we say that all the time. Oh, this next year, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to do that. And lo and behold, before the clock strikes 12:15 a.m., we are trying to go back to the old stuff because that's our comfort zone. Think about a comforter. Think about the comforter on your bed. Every time you feel the cool wind, you want to get up under the comforter. But every time we think something's going to go wrong, we go back to where we're comfortable. And see, when we go back to where we're comfortable, we're not challenged because we're content over here, but God's trying to do something new. So in Abraham's life, Abraham messed up like you and I have messed up, and we're going to continue to mess up because we're striving towards perfection. But God's not messed up with your mess up. And it came to pass after these things, after I messed up, after you messed up, after I lied, after you lied. Oh, my God. After I sinned, after you sinned. And it came to pass after these things, God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So God said, I'm trying to do something new in your life, but before I can do something new, I got to find out whether or not you learned from the past. Have you learned? And in order to know whether or not you learned something, there's an examination. There's a test. God gave Abraham a test. And God said, I want to see if my relationship with Abraham is getting any better. Oh, yeah. So he said, this is what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I would tell thee of. And you know the story. And he told his servants, look here, I and the lad, we're going to go up and worship, and we'll be back. But see, God is trying to do something different in your life, so he wants to take you through a test. He wants to see if you will give him something that you now hold above him. Will you give him something right now that you hold above him? See, this is the test that Abraham was going through. So he told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. And see, with Abraham, he was obedient. This is a test of obedience. Yeah. See, obedience will get you more of God. Yeah. There's praise and there's worship. There's a thing called obedience. As a matter of fact, I come to let you know tonight, without obedience, your praise and worship might be. So Abraham did what he was supposed to do. And in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto his Abraham, his father, said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That is an indication that Abraham is about ready to pass this test. That's an indication that Abraham has learned something about God, that God is yet able, that God promised him who Isaac would be. And I know my God doesn't lie to me. Therefore, if he promised that Isaac was going to be somebody, if he wanted to make me sacrifice Isaac, either he's going to raise him up, he's going to do something. So he said, Isaac, don't worry. My father will provide himself a lamb. So they came to the place which God had told them of. Abraham built an altar there, verse 9, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That takes faith, obedience. He laid his son, took the knife, ready to slay Isaac. But and it came to pass after these things that God was trying to do something different to Abraham. He said, look, you're going to be the father of many nations, but I got to make sure that you can be the right kind of daddy. I got to make sure that you can handle what I'm about ready to give you. See, those of us that like to be real secure and like to be in the zone where nothing's going to happen, see, God can't use you that much because you already are where you're going to be. But God needs somebody who's willing to take a risk with him. Somebody who's willing to go forth and believe him, be obedient unto him for the impossible. Because he said, before Abraham, Isaac was so special to you that you would hold Isaac over me. But now I want to see whether or not I'm number one or is Isaac number one. Because if I'm not number one, then I can't be nobody. See, That's the way God is. God says, if I can't be number one, I can't work in your life. I work from a place of preeminence. I work from first place. Did Abraham, is he going to pass this test? Look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord and called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. That's the whole key. God needs a now I know experience with you and with me before he can do something different in your life. Something's about to change, but God needs a now I know moment from you and from me. Did we learn from the past? Did we learn from our mistakes? Did we learn from our trials? Did we learn from our tribulations? Did we learn from our trials? God said, I'm trying to do something new, but I need a now I know moment. And now I know moment only comes when that which you were going to put before God becomes under God. And God says, as a matter of fact, Abraham, you passed the test. As a matter of fact, Isaac was before me, but now I know that he's not before me. Now I know I'm number one, and this is what I'm going to do for you. That which you tried to put over me, I'm going to let you keep that and provide something else. What are you talking about? Well, look what it says. At verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a what? A ram. Not only will I let you keep what you tried to put above me, but now that I'm above that, I'm going to let you keep that which you tried to put above me, and I'm going to put something in it. Something's about to change. But God needs a now I know moment from you and from me. See, that's deep. We're not ready for that. To give up something that's so precious. And God said, no. If you just be obedient and trust me and let me be number one. Because he told Abraham, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Wow. What are you holding above God? What are you holding above God? That if God told you to give it up, you wouldn't. But in order for God to do what he wants to do in your life, we need to. Because he needs that now I know moment. Now I know you serious. Now I know you're not playing church. Now I know you for real. Now I know I'm not your Burger King God that every time you need something, you roll up to the window and you put your order in and you get your little order and you got the nerve to drive off and I don't see you again until you get the urge that you might need me. Now I know. Something's about to change. I dare you to give God a now I know moment tonight on the brink of 2014. We talking all this stuff about what's going to change. Ain't nothing going to change till God get in there. That's when something's about to change. Because if we take into 2013 all that nonsense, into 2014 all that nonsense for 2013, things won't change. It might be dressed different. Oh, my God. A dressed-up pig is one another, but a dressed-up pig. I don't care. You can put lipstick, perfume, oink-oink is an oink-oink. I don't care. I don't care. You put a tuxedo on them. I don't care. We need to stop playing these games and get real with God. See, that's why they say that there's some poems and songs. My worship is for real. Because Abraham said, we're going to come back, but we're going to worship. And his worship was for real. But after these things, God still was dealing with Abraham because God knows our frames of dust. He knows just how much we can bear. He knows our hearts. And he knows what we can deal with. So he dealt with Abraham for what he knew he put in Abraham. But he gave Abraham a chance to see what he had put in him by increasing the test that he would take him through. Something's about to change. God is ready to move in your life. But are you ready for God to move? It's like a baby learning to walk. And we got to mess around and get everything in the... All the furniture, all the sharp edges, we've got to get them covered so the baby won't hurt themselves. But when the baby becomes sure-footed, when the baby moves from the milk to the meat,
you can remove some of those things that's making your furniture look so ugly right now. People come in your house, oh, she got a baby. Oh, he got a baby. You got big pieces of foam and cushion. And some of y'all have took the table out the way. But God said, now it's time for you to walk. I'm trying to do something in your life, so it's time for you to walk. Something's about to change. Some people don't like change, and some people don't want you to change. Change your friend. Hello. Change how you deal with your family members. They don't want to see you blessed. Misery loves company. Misery loves all the company that misery can get. Misery got a big house. And as much misery and company that misery can get, misery, come on my house. Come on. What you like, I got it. What you drinking? What you snorting? Oh, see, that's misery. And see, we come to church miserable because we live with misery. Oh, see, that's a choice we make. When you become an adult, you make choices. And then we come to the altar and cry to God, oh, God said, but you made the choice. Now you need to make a choice to accept me. And let me sanctify you. And let me separate you. And let me bless you. And let me become. I'm trying to change your life. You say you want change, but the only time you want change is on Sunday when the word of God is going forth and the anointing of the Lord is high. I want to change your life. How about on Monday? God is saying y'all got over 2013. Stop playing with me. It's almost midnight. Stop playing, church. This thing is for real. Some folks don't come to church because of there wasn't on here. Everybody doesn't want you to change. And the enemy doesn't want us to change because we're a threat to the enemy's kingdom. Does not want us to change. Everyone was not happy about the birth of Christ. You see, when Christ was born, God's promise to the world was fulfilled and change was inevitable. That's why they try to kill him. The shepherds are going crazy, and Herod saying, go kill. Kill him. Because I might not believe God, but there's something about that name. That's why people get mad. My wife and I was talking about the other day. You can go outside on the sidewalk and say any other name you want, but say the name of Jesus. You shouldn't say that. Don't be pressing your religion all up on me. You can say Buddha. Any other name is fine. But don't say Jesus Christ. That causes problems. You discriminated against me. I'm serious. If the name didn't have any power, why folks got so much problem with the name of Jesus? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords to the glory of God the Father. That's why, look. Why you think you're going through what you're going through? Because God wants to say to your life, and after these things, and it came to pass. That's why folk mess with you. Your light is on. They love darkness, and your light is on. You go to work and your light is on. You come home and your light is on. You go to the market and your light is on. You go to the cleaners and your light is on. You come to church and your light is on. Turn off the light. They want you to turn off. You can't turn off the light because God's been too good to you. He made ways out of no way. He's been mighty good. Something about change. But you got to prepare for change. I'm not saying don't make a resolution. I'm just saying along with your resolution, you get a revelation. Yes. That God wants to change your life. And as my sister said, Sister Charlotte said in her testimony, me? God wants to change me? God wants to use me? Well, Isaiah put it like this. Turn to Isaiah 43 as we close out and get ready to count this year in. Turn to Isaiah 40. God wants to change your life. If you don't want change, I'm very sorry that we forced you to come out tonight. I apologize
from the depths of my heart that we force you to think about changing your life. Isaiah chapter 43. And those of us in Christ, we need to get better with him. Isaiah 43, look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall, whatever's coming after you, whatever's been messing with you, whatever is chasing you, whatever is pursuing you without your permission, God is simply saying, I'm going to make all that stuff lay down. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They're as quenched as tow. Lord have mercy. Behold, no, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Be careful what you hold on to. Remember not the former things. Don't even consider the things of old. Remember not the former things. We spend too much time on that former stuff. God's trying to do something new. That's like getting new furniture and you telling everybody, no, sit on the old stuff. Springs and stuff, they don't make springs no more. All coming all out and pricking you and don't sit on my new furniture. God wants to do new. No, God, I like the old stuff. Don't do anything new in my life, God. I was just playing when I asked you. I was playing at the altar, God. I was just showing off for my friends that invited me to church. I wasn't for real. Look at verse 19. Behold, God is speaking. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. All God is trying to say, I know you've been through hell and high water, but guess what? I know about hell and I know about high water because I let these things exist. But they shall not overtake thee. They shall not overwhelm me. Just trust me. Just be obedient unto me. Just give me your Isaac, will you? Give me your Isaac. Give me your Isaac. Give me your Isaac. And see if I won't have a ram in the bush. And they call that thing Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. He will make a way out of no way. Look at Deuteronomy 28. The Old Testament, I tell you something. It tells us what we're entitled to. Look at Deuteronomy 28:1. This is blessings for being obedient. And it shall come to pass, as thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's why folks don't like you, think she all stuck up, he all stuck down, and he all too confident. Because, see, when you got God in you, God will make you look a certain way. I'm not going to have God to bless my life and still walk around like a hobo. My Father is rich. Look at verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. These blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That's for city folk and country folk. Not just kidding, just kidding. Country folk from the field, no. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Lord have mercy. The Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. When you get home, you read Deuteronomy 28 verses. Well, read 1 through 14 if you love the Lord. If you will be disobedient, read 15 to the end of the chapter. Amen. That's the word. Help me, somebody. That's the word of God. If you're obedient and you love the Lord and you're not playing around and you go, I'm going to be blessed in 2014, read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. But if you just playing, and you hear what it's tonight, and you just playing, you just look like you took that hypocritical oath. Read Deuteronomy 28:15 and to the end of the chapter. That's yours. That's yours. I got mine, and you get yours. No, ain't nothing but truth. And John 10:10 says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody ready to give up their Isaacs? And you read Revelation 21, that gives you the whole story. John said, I saw a new heaven. God is ready to do something new. Why are we blocking him? Just people don't even want the church to do something new. Well, see, it says 1950. Well, that's a problem. This is 2013 going to 2014. Since 1950, some things have changed. Even the hymn book has changed. It's got a different cover because the songs are still good. Something's about to change in somebody's life. As we sit here tonight, you talk to God from your heart. You make that commitment unto him. Lord, I'm ready to give up my Isaac. All the stuff that I kept putting before you, all the stuff you blessed me with, my job, my car, my house, my wife, my husband, my kids, all this stuff you blessed me with, my schooling, my degrees, all the stuff you gave me, I've been putting that stuff before. I've been making excuses as to why I can't worship you. I can't serve you, God. I can't worship you because you blessed me with so much. But now it came to pass, and you called my name. And you asked me to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice something I'm not ready to give up, but I want to be blessed. That does not work in God's life. I don't want to do what you want me to do, but I still want the blessings. I want to be disobedient, but I want you to bless me like I'm being obedient. I don't want to work, but pay me. Anybody got a boss like that? I ain't come to work, but pay me. But we come to God, God, I'm a disobedient, but bless me. Well, he lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust, but don't frustrate God's grace. 2014, you may not join here, you may not worship here. You better find a place where you're going to worship the Lord. And you're going to be taught the word, you're going to learn the word. Come on, serve him. Because some of the stuff you've been going through, it had nothing to do with the devil. I'm sorry. Some of the stuff that you're going through, guess whose fault it is? And it's cute on Sunday. What a devil. The devil woke me up, dressed me, took me out of my bed, and sit me down so-and-so. I didn't know I was there till it was over. We are good. All of us can write some short stories. But tonight God is saying, I'm ready to do something new. I'm getting ready to do your life over if you will surrender unto me. Just give me your life. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about how it happened. Don't worry about who it happened with. Because one thing I do is forgive you. And once you forgive yourself, please let me work in your life. There's some people here tonight, you have yet to forgive yourself for you failed this and you failed in that and this didn't work out and that didn't work out and you were this and you were that and they told you you were this. And they told you. God said tonight, if you would just put that on Moriah, take all that junk that folks said about you and just put it in and light a fire. Because as we close out tonight, guess what? You thought that God only wanted the good thing from you, the Isaac. God said, give me your dirt. Give me the stuff that's messing you up. That's like an Isaac to me because it blocks you from me. So you don't understand. You take all the stuff and all the hurt and all the stuff people have said to you, you keep putting that stuff above me. That's why I can't get to you. So I know Abraham, I asked him for Isaac. I'm asking you for whatever it is that has blocked me from loving you and caressing you and being who I want to be in your life. I want you to bring all that to Moriah. Bring some wood and bring some fire because we're going to burn that crap tonight. We're going to send that stuff. As we stand all over God's house, we open the doors of God's church. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Tonight, we open the doors of God's house on the bridge.